Aloha! This is Felicia from KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, the station that loves you. It's always hard to turn down the music. All right. So this is Kauai Soapbox, and I'm Felicia. We've got all kinds of people in here. And Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with the Copper Man.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com. Or 639-3456.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio and underwriters like that. The Copper Man and Kauai Store will also be on this show. They really make a big difference. Marshall, are you on there?
Aloha.
Oops, no. There he is. Hi.
Aloha.
Hi. And then I have two other people in the studio with me right now, and we will soon have a third. So I'm going to see if they're mic'd up. I've got Thomas. Is it Dalbert? How do you say your last name?
Dalbert. Yeah.
Dalbert. Okay.
Good afternoon.
Oh, got that wrong there. Good afternoon, and Bino Costello. Say hi.
Aloha, everybody.
Okay. These guys are both from the Aninaho Community Park, and we're also going to have one of my favorite planners. It's kind of tough saying that, though, because really, honestly, we've got a whole big posse of good planners at the county. Kauai County. It's really nice. They're warm. They're open. Most of them are incredibly young and enthusiastic. Lee's a little bit more grown up, and he's got experience from everywhere. That's Lee Steinmetz, so he will be coming in soon. This show today is, I called it pro-activism. Like, how do you be proactive with your activism? It is so much easier. I think in medicine they say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure?
That's right, yeah.
Yes. And then another statement I've been hearing lately that I love is, if you're not at the table, you might be on the menu, you know? So this is how we manage to get at the table. And I'm looking at Marshall here. Marshall, you're pretty Akamai about what's going on in the world and the nation. I know that I missed the Republican debate, or maybe it's starting. Do you know?
Yes, the children's table has happened, and I think the main debate might be underway right now. It's somewhere about now.
Can you break it down for us? Who is the lesser table, or who's sitting at the children's table? What makes it the children's table?
Well, it is, they did it on percentages in the polls, so you had to have a 3.5% in the polls nationwide, 4% in Iowa, or 4% in New Hampshire.
Okay, so it's not just opinion. Okay.
No, and the big news actually in some quarters was that CNN, who had put out very specific criteria down to how they were going to not round numbers up and this sort of thing, According to their own criteria, Rand Paul would not have been included in the main debate, but they decided to include him anyway. So, in that sense, they're actually taking a hand in forming who does go on in the Republican primary process. But you know, the kids' table really is, you can dismiss. These are people that sooner or later are going to drop out of the race, basically. So
who's at the adult table? Afraid to ask. I mean, I kind of know, but like sometimes not all adult behavior. But we won't even make that projection with names. Who's at the varsity team?
Well, of course, right in the center, you've got Donald Trump, and up and coming next to him, it used to be Ben Carson, who
I guess Ted Cruz,
indeed. And so what you're likely to see is a lot of Ted Cruz bashing on the part of Trump. And interestingly, all of the Republican candidates have come out strongly denouncing Donald Trump's statements about excluding Muslims from the country, mm-hmm. or keeping them out or whatever, except for Ted Cruz. He hasn't exactly said, "I agree," but he has not said that he disagrees or anything really negative about that policy statement. He's trying to not be dismissed by Trump supporters. He's trying to get on them a bit. And what is the problem with this for the Republican Party is that they're really, really stand a great chance of nominating an unelectable candidate. Because
now you're projecting, you're editorializing.
I am editorializing.
Okay. You're editorializing. We're claiming it. We're open. Okay. Go ahead.
All the mainstream Republican candidates are getting marginalized, really. And when it comes to the general election, the mass of Americans are very mainstream. They don't want somebody on the far left or the far right. They want things just to sort of stay the way they are. You know, keep us safe, keep us stable. And they're, when they look at Donald Trump, they're just going to say, this guy is off the charts. We don't want him in the Oval Office. There's no way. So, you know, and that's what we saw recently in the French elections. The far right was making a lot of noise, and there was concern. And when it came down to the elections, the mainstream came out in swarms and overwhelmed that. They were so concerned about the possibility of the far right taking control that they just swamped the polls. And I think that's what we're going to see as well.
Well, usually whenever there is a presidential election, those are the ones that people do turn out to the polls. And, you know, on this show, I really am trying to encourage people to be engaged in what happens. So certainly I think voting is a good idea. And when we're looking at these steps prior to that, whether that is participating in the Charter Review Commission survey or the general plan update or putting in your voice on so many of these different issues, when you're part of the conversation at the front end of it, it is so much easier to shape policy than wait till something has happened, then there's an impact, and you're unhappy with it, and then go out and start marching against it after somebody's put a lot of investment in it. And I'm going to come to what we're talking about in this show, but is there something else in the world big that we need to think about?
Well, you know, I mean, of course, there are many, many big things. I like a couple of the little things, you know, a couple of good news things to me, like Cuba. We started mail service again with Cuba.
Oh, that's nice.
Yay, yeah. Send a letter to Cuba. And in Saudi Arabia, the women were able to vote for the first time. And they're able to run for municipal thank you very
offices?
Much. Yes, those.
That's a big deal.
Uh-huh. And some of them won. And they couldn't drive to the polls.
Somebody needs to drive them.
They need to be driven to the polls. But they voted. You know, and you know, in the military, they have now decided to allow women to serve in all branches of the military.
In the U.S. military?
In the U.S. military.
Which ones weren't women allowed to serve in?
Well, until recently, in combat positions in all branches of the military. Yes, and...
Did they get the choice? I mean, did girls get the choice of whether they're going to be in combat or not?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Because I'll be honest, I wouldn't want to be in the foxhole with me. I was truthful. I'm not going to shoot anybody. I really wouldn't, you know. So
no, you're not a good choice for the military.
I'm not a good choice for the military. So I guess because it's volunteer. But I would think, sometimes there's just different temperaments. So, but maybe I'm being sexist. I'm just being honest. I wouldn't want to be in the foxhole with me.
There's another place for you, Felicia.
Yeah, okay, well, so those are all interesting things. How about you two men? Do either one of you notice something big in the world that you feel like giving a shout-out to?
As for me, I like to keep it local and deal with the community where I can put my input and make things happen for where I'm at. So my life is very local.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And where can I start is at home and my community.
And I have to say, you're very good at that. I've known you for quite some time, and that's one of the reasons that you're in here. And Thomas, any big things that you want to point out before we get moving into the show?
I'll just add that this beautiful holiday season is here, and it's an opportunity for us, along with what Bino had said, to come together and remember family, remember our community. And
I'm
take
remember,
time out of the year to care and show up and express gratitude.
So that's a good plug that I actually didn't even remember to say, but Aninaho, you guys are doing another community free dinner. I heard
that's
millions
correct.
Of good things about Thanksgiving. I almost went, but I thought, I don't want to
go
crash
good,
the party.
You missed a good time.
I know they were trying to keep it small. It was a lot of people there, but I heard plenty of food.
Quite the opposite. Definitely not trying to keep it small. The community is invited to our table for sure. So we had nearly 400 members of our community from all walks of life on the North Shore at our Thanksgiving feast. It was phenomenal.
The next day, I heard about it, and so many of my friends were there, and they were all very, very happy. I have a big mahalo ke akua of a thank you. Jake Maka, who's been in the hospital, he successfully made it through his intensive surgery today, and it looks like he's going to be fine. So,
nice.
Yay. A lot of times we start off the show honoring somebody who is past, and so I'm glad we're honoring somebody who has not. So that's really good. This evening at 6:30, and I am going to go right after the show, Governor Ige is on Kauai with his department heads. And so that's going to be at Kauai Community College in the Performing Arts Center. So that's the main auditorium there. It'll probably be a panel of them, and I'm sure they'll say what they have up, but it is a really, really good opportunity to show up and voice your opinion. I'm recommending even bring a written document if what you have is important, because then you know it'll go on the public record, and because we want to make sure the state government hears from the people. And since it is Christmas, you brought that up, you could be Santa, you could give him a gift, but maybe you want to let him know if he's been naughty or nice. And it looks like we have a caller. Let's put somebody on the air. Aloha. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
I'm on the air. Hey.
Yay.
Vicky from Wainiha.
Hi.
I play a little music with Bobo, and Dave's always there, and I'm so glad to hear the good news.
Yes.
Thank
you. Wonderful. You're welcome.
Okay, mahalo.
Mahalo. We have another caller. Aloha. You're on the air.
Hey, aloha, Felicia. Really glad you got to mention about Governor Ige talking tonight. I just wanted to extend the idea that maybe people want to come by if they want to. They don't have to, but just as a personal opinion, Hawaii is a beautiful place, but the status quo here in Hawaii is not perfect. It's not okay at all. We have a lot of issues going on with our desecration of our cultural and natural resources, amongst many other things. And I just want to encourage everyone to come hear from our governor tonight about what he feels Hawaii is at, because maybe where he's at with things is maybe not what we're feeling here on a day-to-day impact of things. So I just really also just want to extend the invitation, if they want to come, about talking with Governor Ige and expressing their Manalo, and I think it's a great idea if people have concerns or maybe even thank yous, to just go write them out, because you know, time is limited and who knows how much time is available, and just write down your Manalo, even if it's, you know, a 2-minute little thing, you know, you do last minute, and just get it out there, because this is a great opportunity for the community to express their concerns, their praises, and to foster a better Hawaii.
So if I can quote you, you said the status quo is not okay. Is that what I heard?
If you could quote me, that's just my Manao about things. I mean, other people might say things are different, but at least from a cultural and natural resource aspect, I am very concerned about our governor and many other people of how they take care of such things, which includes the controversial election of Carlton Ching, who is going to take care of our natural resources as an overall manager.
For UH, and, right? They put, what, now Carlton Ching has been put as the real estate person for UH. So I'm gonna give you a second on that, because he was with the law firm. He was a key player in the law firm representing the 30-meter telescope. And so putting him in the position of doing that for UH, it looks like stacking the deck.
It's stacking the deck, and if we go back to earlier this year when Governor Ige had decided to nominate Carlton Ching to be the head of the Department of Land and Natural Resources, it was kind of stacking the deck, too. For those who don't know, Carlton Ching has been a developer for Castle and Cook throughout Hawaii's. Just to kind of sum it up real quick for people, he is not a natural resource perpetuator or conserver. He is a developer of natural resources. So not to call him an exploiter, but he is definitely someone who looks at the natural environment, sees how can we alter that for something that isn't what it already is, kind of thing, which may be everything from a housing project in the middle of Oahu to swapping lands for the rail system in Honolulu, et cetera, et cetera. So it is something to be concerned about if that's what you feel, and many people do feel that. Some of the precedents that are happening with issues perhaps up on Mauna Kea will affect our cultural and natural resources. I think we can all agree, whether we're conservationists or tourist-friendly people or just, you know, the day-to-day person, is that we are reliant on our cultural and natural resources to sustain our tourism economy, our local economy, and our livelihoods.
Yes, and Carlton Ching had been the president of the Land Use Research Foundation, which is an advocacy group for development. Hey, you know what? I saw the notice that Goodfellas is planning to take their heavy equipment off Mauna Kea tomorrow. That's at least on the memo.
That's in the right direction, but... You know, it's interesting because it seems like our current governor, even though he knows that there are Supreme Court rulings that ask for such things to be happening, he is still trying to advocate to push forward of how he can best still deploy the TMT project.
Which the 30-meter telescope.
The 30-meter telescope controversial project up on Mauna Kea.
So... thank you so much for calling in. Maybe later in the show you can call back. I have another caller waiting, and then we're going to kind of get the stuff off the ground. But thank you for calling.
Appreciate you so much. Okay.
And I'll see you there.
Okay. Aloha.
Okay. Aloha. Thank you so much for holding. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'm so glad that Governor Ige is coming and we could welcome him, because I think it's really important that we ask Governor Ige, what is he planning to do about the 3,500 signatures that we presented in order to prevent the south shore of Kauai, Mahualepu, from being polluted by a 2,000-cow dairy, which will produce an estimated 51 million pounds of wet manure and 600,000 gallons of urine, which will float down the south shore along with producing scum from the cow waste, stench, biting black flies, and in the local cowshed area, the four county wells that supply drinking water to Kaloa and the Poipu area are in the immediate vicinity of the dairy farm. And I could go on about the sludge being sprayed on the land around the wells, the risk of contamination of drinking water. And I'm really concerned that tourists will turn up their noses at the stench, the biting black flies, polluted drinking water, and there will be business slumps. And we could also be experiencing illness from people who become critically sick and could die of the excess of bacteria. And the cleanup, if they get around to it, could take years and millions of dollars of taxpayers' money, like the other dairy farms that have polluted the areas around Yakima, Washington, and the 50% of the beaches in New Zealand are polluted from industrial dairy farms. When do we hear from Governor Ige about what he's going to do about this?
So are you going to bring a written statement, too, just in case you don't have a chance to actually ask the question?
I think that's a really good idea,
yes. Because it sounds like you have a lot of detail there and pretty profound concern for the agriculture, because that does go under the Department of Ag. So that that department head is Scott Enright. I'm sure he will be here this evening. And so that question would probably be directed at him. And the state ag use principles is really what goes on anything zoned that way. So that's, you know, through the Land Use Commission. And so it is a state issue, it's a county issue, and a state issue, so it is an appropriate place to speak out about that. So I know that there are really hundreds of people who are concerned about having such high density. It looks like about five cattle per acre, you know, moving, you know, repeatedly. I mean, the land is going to be utilized. I might not have that number right. Actually, I have to look. I can't remember. But it is going to be heavily utilized. And that is interesting to me that this has been planned, because that area, Poipu and Kaloa, is sort of the sacrificial land as far as the real property tax goes. That area provides 30% plus of the tax revenues to the county. So we really wouldn't want to be harming that financial. Not that we want to do that anywhere, but I mean, I'm really surprised that they would go, okay, let's take this place that we've basically almost made almost entirely for visitors and put something high impact like that, because as you said, it might slow down business. So you're going to be coming there, and maybe I will see you. I'm going to be there in my KKCR shirt, red KKCR shirt. And we look forward to seeing you, and then hopefully that you're working with other people. I think it's really good when people come together to present their perspectives.
Well, thank you. And I would like to urge all of your listeners to bring their concerns, and I really am grateful that you have received my concern so deeply, and you are so knowledgeable about this situation. I think if the listeners visit Mahualepu and they see that this Mahualepu is a pristine dream of what Hawaii is in its wild and natural state. But be careful, do not go through the stream. It is the most polluted stream in Hawaii, I am very sad to say, because of activities that have already gone on there. So don't swim below Gillen's
place.
Below Gillen's cottage.
Yeah, I think
there.
They're trying to figure out what is bringing that bacterial count so high. It is very, very high. There must be some sort of influence that is causing that high bacterial count. So thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, Felicia.
Okay, aloha. And on that happy note of high bacterial count in water, I did see that the county put out that the well at Moloa is showing a high reading, too. So people shouldn't be drinking the water that is coming from the main tanks in Moloa. That's a challenge. I know that they're trying to work on that, but that's maybe a week old.
That's hard. A lot of people do drink that.
I think that they're all being informed.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's hard anywhere. And in speaking about water, and we'll put this one out in a real positive note, the water will be off in Kilauea on the 17th and the 18th of this week, which is, today's the 15th, so that's Thursday and Friday night. They're making it 8 p.m. to 5 a.m., the county workers have been out there working really hard for a couple of weeks, putting in new piping, and my guess is that they'll be moving it over and doing the backflow, so people should be storing their water. It looks like we have another caller, and we'll take one more call coming up. Aloha, thank you for calling. You're on the air, KKCR. Hello? Are you there?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
I just want to say nothing has changed here in Moloa'a for 15 years. Thank you.
With the water quality?
Yes, nothing's changed. It's been the same water quality for 15 years.
Thank
you.
Okay. I don't know. I had seen a letter that came out from the county, so maybe she's saying it has always been that way. I'm not sure. But that was something that was called to my attention, and it's an official letter.
Well, you know, when I lived in Moloa, I drank that water. And I think that officially then, too, you were not supposed to drink the water.
Oh, okay.
But I and a lot of other people did and do.
And you were fine?
I was fine. Some people said, well, depends on your tummy.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know. So, you know, here at KKCR, we're all volunteers, and it is very much community radio, and so community sends things forward, and so I was sent an official note. I'm trying to pull it up. So we're almost at the bottom of the hour. This is KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. And so I want to pull it over to our guests here. We'll start talking a little bit about what we've got going on in our community. And very soon we're going to have Lee Steinmetz come in. And he is with the county. And his emphasis is on traffic. But he is definitely very, very smart about all the different areas of planning. And do we have one more call? All right, one more call, and then we're going to have our guests share a little bit. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Joe. By the way, it was a wonderful program Sunday at the food forest.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you, guys. You and Paul and all the people that put that stuff together, man. It's great. Coming back to the dairy, okay? This is my about last summer. I get a magazine monthly. It's called The Economist. It's a wonderful magazine. I love it. The only news that I get. And they had a whole article 2 months in a row, two separate articles. But they were about Holland, the land of the milk cow. It's the province in Holland called Friesland is where the Holstein, the black and white cow, originated. That is really, you can call that the birth of our modern dairy industry, if you want to call it, Friesland and Holland by itself. The Dutch government has done many research programs, and they have found that they are now requesting, well, I think it's a law, only so many head of cattle per acre. because of the urine and the waste filtering down into the water system. That's the country that developed the science of dairy is now telling their farmers, no, you cannot, for safety reasons and health reasons that they have facts, the Dutch government is wonderful. They take care of their people because the people participate in the government, really. But it's incredible that nobody has, I've mentioned this to couple, I think this is the third time on KCCR. I don't do computers and all that, so I wish somebody would get on the ball and even talk to the Dutch government and ask them, maybe they could send us some information. It's all about percolation of soil, absorbing the bad things.
Right,
and this man who is this very wealthy man that is coming here to make a dairy so he can sell cheese in Singapore and Tokyo, he's not creating many jobs. And in a matter of fact, if it goes through, if they want it to go through, they should make a request to the Dutch government to come in or recommend that they send us a couple of experts. They'll take a look at the soil and tell you exactly. And this soil is more porous than the soil in Europe.
Well, actually, yes. And that area there is pretty clay, and the water is going to end up sheeting off. It actually doesn't have a good percolation rate at all. So it is very likely to sheet off and make it into the ocean.
Right into the water and right around the corner from wonderful beaches. And, you know, the arrogance of this person, you know, and group demanding, you know, I find it insulting to the Hawaiian island culture, period. They're coming in and telling you, us, what they're going to do and how they're going to poison things. That's it.
Okay.
Have a good day. You guys are wonderful. Aloha.
Thank you so much. And I love all our callers. They've got really great input to share. I'm going to have people hold off for maybe 15 minutes because I would like to get my guests to be able to kind of bring up a little bit of what they're doing. I did look at the notice that I got about the Molawa water system, and it does have a state water system ID, and this had gone from the state water to the Garden Island, so it is definitely not hearsay, but perhaps what is means is that it's always at this condition, and so nothing new. So that is what's being shared with me.
So the official line is, do not drink the water in Molawa'a out of that tank there.
Yeah, it says coliform tier 1 violation public notice. So I haven't ever seen that before, but it was put out by the Molawa'a Irrigation Cooperative. So they are flagging it.
Oh.
The Molawa'a cooperative is saying, okay, you know, this is what it is. So it's not that they're hiding anything.
Okay.
So that's good. So, all right, it went on the air. Somebody needed me to have it on the air. I'm going to hold off calls for a little bit. I would like to get my people in here to share a little bit. Thomas, tell us what is the vision of Ainaho Community Park, which is also connected to Waikoa. You guys do so many things. What are you most wanting to share about right now?
Well, let me begin just by taking a step back and making sure people do know. Ainaho Community Park is the 16-acre non-for-profit campus located just outside of Kilauea that hosts Kauai Mini Golf and Botanical Gardens. It's a gorgeous place for visitors, but also for Kama'aina. Many people might not know, the last Sunday of the month, it's completely free mini golf. It's a great place to bring the family and come around and enjoy an afternoon here on our beautiful North Shore. We also have a gorgeous cafe and gift shop. As you mentioned, Felicia, access to the Waikoa Loop Trail, which goes up Waikoa Plantation. They're a sister organization of ours, and it's a beautiful, beautiful spot in the world. 5-acre trail that leads up to the historic Stone Dam. It's a truly must-see spot on the North Shore here. Couple of
5 acres is more than 5 acres.
No, a 5-mile trail.
5 miles. I was going to say, that's not 5 acres. That's like hundreds of acres.
Thanks for the correction. We have two farmers markets a week. Our big one is on Saturdays from 9 to 1. We have another one Monday evening about 3 till dusk. Those are great places to buy local, beautiful produce right here from the North Shore. We have a great playground and skate park for our keiki. And this is indeed a gift to the community from Bill and Joan Porter to create a gathering place here on the North Shore. And so that's who we are today, and we're really proud of what we do and what we serve. But there is an even bigger vision, and that's the project coming up next. And that's the Aninaho Pavilion, which will be the next investment that the Porters are making here in our community.
And we'll explore that in the next few minutes. And the last caller was speaking about a very wealthy individual who, I'll just say it, Pierre Omidyar, why pretend? He does eBay, and then Bill and Joan had E-Trade. So, like, there's a lot of people from the dot-com industry. I'm not willing to say that when they decided to do a dairy that they thought that was awful. I mean, when I first heard a dairy, I'm like, okay, yeah, great, a dairy. You know, it sounds like it's in the wrong place and too dense and too crowded. I don't know. But what I feel that Aninaho and Waikoa demonstrate is this amazing gift and capacity that can happen when we have people who've moved here who are rather blessed, who share that blessing. And I know that the county is definitely struggling financially, and the way that we can start to build partnerships is important, because a lot of times when these people come here, they actually want to do good, and I would say something good about Ulupono, or that's Pierre Omidyar's nonprofit, is he put, you know, quite a good amount of money to the Hawaii Community Foundation, a really substantial amount, to try and help different groups. So, you know, people have their different ways of doing it. I'm looking over here at Bino because you are the botanical manager of the mini golf, and I am a plant evangelist. And I am a yardening evangelist, and something that I really, really love about the mini golf is that you're not preaching to the choir. You're meaning it's people who already know how important plants are. People who typically decide to go to mini golf are just trying to have a nice time with their kids or their family or to do something. And it's so much more than a mini golf. It is really a very beautiful botanical garden. And Bino, can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, the Quiet Miniature Golf Botanical Garden is very unique because we have about 200 different species of plants there. And it's talking about telling you the history of the Hawaiian history or the Hawaiian Island history, natural history and cultural history through its plants. So you have all these plants ranging from 4 million years from endemic and indigenous to pollinator-introduced plants, to lapa'au, to
lapa'au means Hawaiian
medicine, and also all the agricultural plants that we supported here in Hawaii. And also just a compilation of all the cultures and all the plants that they all contribute here to Hawaii that creates that melting pot. So we have a lot of history that we go through.
As you go play the holes, each hole is an education. You're
sure.
Stepping through history. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's just taking everybody step by step, our natural history and cultural history, and just the beauty of the plants, how it's connected to the aina, to the people, to the culture.
And
to
me, aina that's means land.
To the land. And it's very important to know your history and how can we come back to sustainability, because we're going, again, to the other spectrum of things that we need to come back and malama aina, and you use this ancestral practices.
And today, you were a big part of our celebration at the food forest up there in Waikoa. We have a food forest up there, 2.5-acre food forest. It was the third year, and you were helping to really share the plants and the knowledge of the plants that we planted in a remembrance of some of our people who have passed away this year that were part of the forest.
Mm-hmm.
And today, you did a propagation class, right? You do kind of a regular propagation class?
Yes, we do. At the Aninaho Community Park campus, we do have our nursery there that we're trying to create more plants for the next project and also the 16-acre property there. Yes, we're propagating native plants, edible, medicinal plants, plants that are beneficial to the soil and also for insects and also to repel insects also. So today we replanted tea, naupaka, ule. This is all landscape plants that we want to use more because it's, again, utilizing all the resources that we use efficiently, meaning all these plants are xeriscape, meaning they don't need too much water. They're already acclimated to the area. They're used to with the soil. So this is a no-brainer. So we should be creating more of these plants.
And in agreement with mm-hmm. Regenerations, I'm on that board. You happen to be mm-hmm. on that board also. Regenerations is trying to have decentralized botanical gardens. It's kind of teaching people how to use these native plants or these people useful plants to have in their own yard, in their own landscaping, so that these plants that, you know, could be eliminated, they could go extinct. A lot of them are pretty delicate. You're showing people, helping them be aware, and as these things get shared out a little bit, people can be having their landscaping as appropriate endemic and indigenous plants.
Yeah, if we just change our minds about how we should design our landscape, we can, as it serves us, I mean, serving the aina also, the land. So if we use these plants in a certain way, then we also can have more resources that we can grab from. Like, for example, mamaki. If people plant mamaki in their yard, they can have a medicinal use for it.
Which is a good blood cleanser and a tea, and mm-hmm. it's delicious.
And you can have edible fruits and veggies, perennial gardens, things that brings you happiness and brings you nutrients and just a better quality of life. So, again, if we start planting all these plants, then we can have more resources to these plants and we don't have to go to the market. We can just trade and pick and utilize our resources.
It becomes more of a share economy. And mm-hmm. I have had a school, and I'm just going to give you a shout-out, Bino, that, and for teachers that are out there, is it still the case if they want to come and have a botanical lesson? They can come, they give you a call. How do they get a hold of you?
Well, they can get a hold of my number. I can just give out my number
okay,
here.
Okay, what is it?
It's 652-5652. Call me directly because I love sharing my mana'o and my passion about the Hawaiian culture, the plants, the uses of these things. And to me, that's one of my passions, and I like to share.
And you do an amazing class. You're very, very interested, and your passion is really clear. And it's fun. It's fun, and it's really interesting. And I know that you are involved in so many things, like the Kilauea Neighborhood Association. You're on that board.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the board of the Kilauea Ag Park, like I already said, Regenerations, part of the Farmers Union. There's this whole element of our Northeast Corridor here. I want to give a shout-out while I'm saying that to the Kalalea Anahola Farmers, too, which is mostly on the Department of Hawaiian Homelands. Big amount of effort that's going in by so many cross-pollinating groups to help. And when we're looking at Anainoho, I both respect the fact that this pavilion is slightly on hold right now because you guys want to make sure that even though the cost of the building has been blessed already by the donors, the maintenance cost, the ongoing funding, it has to generate itself. So we want to make sure that we're not creating something that isn't ending up being utilized accurately for the community. But, you know, this, and when our planner gets in here, we'll be, you know, pulling this up. This is like a small-scale example of really what the county as a whole is looking at. Like, how do we work collaboratively to make a goal for independence for the people, whether that is having the right amount of food, being able to have an educational resource, being able to have small business, like what we're doing with the education of all the planting, along with like at Waikoa, which is sort of the sister property to you guys, mm-hmm. and a number of other parcels that are up there. There are lands that are available or have been being shared out for low lease rent. So it's a very kind-hearted thing, and people are working and farming diligently to create food for the community. You guys have the farmers market. There are other farmers markets where people can sell it. But we have these challenges of the cost of doing business. It's really very expensive, even when there isn't a cost for the building itself or for the land.
So that's exactly the case for us here. Thank you for segueing into that. You know, the board of Aninaho is looking very, very closely at making sure that this gift from the Porters, and it's a beautiful opportunity for us to create this space, this new gathering space for arts and culture and agricultural workshops and lectures and films and baby luau's, and I mean, there's just many, many things that our community could come together in this new space to enjoy. But we want to make sure that it's delivered in the right way and at the right level, so that the community has a voice in the types of programs that we are putting on there, and a voice in actually the scale of it, because this is going to be ours to enjoy many, many years into the future. So indeed, we want to make sure this is the right project, and so that's indeed why we're not stopping the project by any means, but we are just on pause to make sure that we finish our investigation and have an opportunity over the next 6 weeks to speak with members of the community. And in fact, we very much actively invite people to reach out to us. There's a survey button right on our website at aninaho.org.
So let's spell that. Aninaho. Aninaho.org. Sometimes those things get thrown out there so quickly. And what I will do, listeners, is I will put aninaho.org on the KKCR webpage.
Thank you for that. So indeed, right now, one of the mechanisms, really, of us reaching out and gathering the voice of our community is that survey that's on our website that allows you to help share the types of programs, the frequency of programs that you'd like to see us incorporate into the programming mix for the upcoming pavilion.
So I do want to just acknowledge who walked into the studio. I'm going to let them, you know, unwind a little bit. I want them to unwind a little bit, but I have Bev Brody. Bev, put your mouth on the mic for a second.
Hi.
Yeah, she does amazing things. And then I also have Lee Steinmetz. And so they're both here from the county. So, CrossFit Kauai.
Get Fit
Kauai.
From the University of Hawaii.
So they will be jumping in a little bit here. But we are talking about what is happening at Aninaho, which is an example of bringing in community opportunities. In the same way the county provides resources, so does some of our private opportunities. And so, Thomas, and I'm fishing out there, and I kind of had pre-fished out there before the show for people who are wanting to make food, you know, or wanting to do value-added products, because you guys on your plan is a commercial kitchen.
That's correct.
And so sometimes it's, you know, like we were talking about how much cost goes into the infrastructure of a commercial kitchen. It might be even something like $200,000. Did we come up with that number, or I kind of threw that out there?
Those were some round numbers when we were trying to piece together. Again, we have the gift of the capital investment of the kitchen itself is a definite possibility for us, and then continue in the plan. But what we need to sustain in the future is what is the operating cost of that facility, and to allow that to be accessible to members of our community at a fee that is reasonable and allows them to enjoy bringing their products to market, which is the vision of that. And, you know, this has been a really interesting exercise. It's true of the kitchen, but it's true of the entire pavilion, of how do we put together a mixture of earned income from an organization sustaining itself and lessening to the greatest degree possible the amount of fundraising that an organization like ours, and including this kitchen as well, potential kitchen, is going to require, so that it's a good balance, a healthy balance, and one is sustainable for years and years to come. And so, indeed, we were unpacking yesterday in conversation and starting to look at what the operating cost of a space like that might be, so that we could, you know, roll out some numbers and see what is possible for a community member to bring their product in and to deliver a value-added product at a market, and what's the sustainable.
Right. So I'm actually openly trolling for feedback on products at 826-7771 because, like, for example, people have heard this. My friend Sage showed me how to make cassava tortillas. I just was just so amazed and excited about that because I have so much cassava. And they taste really good and they last. You know, like you make them, you put them in the fridge, and they're gonna, you know, you're good for like 3 weeks. So you can make a lot of them. And different things like that, or like Ulu pizza dough. I know that Kilauea Bakery makes, you know, that's their gluten-free pizza dough is made out of Ulu, which is breadfruit. Like, as we start to move and change the palate of the people to be eating the food that grows like a bad weed here and doesn't require a bunch of chemicals or difficult things, I mean, that's a direction that I would like to see things move. And you know, when I think about when you're taking your car and you're loading it up with all your bottles and you're coming down, the bottles would be more like a jam. But, like, how much does it cost to have a kitchen? And I'm kind of throwing this at Lee, who's thinking, and he's going to be, you know, improvising on some of these ideas in a little bit. Like, how much does it really cost to make a tortilla? You know, maybe it costs you 25 cents. I mean, you might sell it for 25 cents, a pack of 10 for $2.50, or maybe you can get $5 for it. But how many tortillas do you have to make to be able to pay even $25 an hour? So here's my piece I'm throwing at Lee, and you could say, I have to think about it, or I can't really answer that. But what I have watched, especially since the hurricane, is our building standards have gone up so intensively. Everything is so darn expensive. And even when we were talking about potentially contaminated water, if it's been contaminated for 15 years and nobody's actually having a problem with it, that when we're looking at things like kitchens, when there's a requirement that's so intensive that somebody has to have $200,000, or even if they just rebuild a piece of their own kitchen, it's $50,000 to remodel your kitchen with all these things, or even $25,000 to be able to make tamales. You know, I mean, people are sitting on the side of the road selling this stuff, feeling like they're growing pakalolo or something. We could even go into that. Maybe pakalolo shouldn't be such a crime, but I'm laughing.
This
but
is
I mean,
a different show.
It's a different show.
I didn't know what I was getting into here.
Yeah, but I mean,
this is good.
That like when we have, when you just think of something as simple as making a tortilla, and what makes these kitchens valuable, and what makes them work, you know, and for people to go in and be able to make some money. You grow some plants, because a lot of times people go, well, I don't even know how to eat cassava, but most people know how to eat a tortilla. Right? Or they know how to eat bread. They know how to eat these finished products. And
well, I just want to layer into the conversation. You're talking about the mechanics of, you know, an individual bringing an idea to produce to market in a finished, you know, product. But it's in the same conversation for us to have the number of individuals from our community who can do that, who can participate in our kitchen to help make this part of our vision of the organization sustainable as well, is part of the question, again, that we're looking for feedback from the community to raise their hand and say that indeed the vision, the original vision for the pavilion was started well over 78 years ago, and this is an interesting opportunity for us to do sort of a new litmus test today. What are the needs of community today? Many things have changed. Many other providers are doing great things in the community, and to ensure, as you talked about, that we work together, the not-for-profits and organizations here in the community, to meet the needs without overlapping one another and making sure that this gift is the best one with the right mix. And so, again, for someone to share, perhaps through our survey or other ways.
So where's your survey?
That's on our website, if you recall. Yeah, right on.
Oh, okay, right. So, like, we'll put a link directly to the survey on my on KKCR
I'll get that for you.
Facebook thing, so people can see that and be able to go directly there. So the question that I've been throwing out to people is, do you have a product that you want to make? I know that the church, the Christian church, I think it's called North Shore Christian Church in Kilauea, mm-hmm. right next to the Kauai Christian Academy, they have a commercial kitchen right there. Waipa finally got their commercial kitchen finished. And I know when I have asked sometimes people who make things, it's difficult just to go schlep all their stuff in, show up for a few hours, take at least that much time to clean up, and then leave. Sometimes it's just, it's difficult if they can't leave their things there. You know, so we have made in our zoning so hard, not pointing at you as I'm pointing at this man. He is not his fault at all. I know that, like, it used to be, people could have a bakery in the bottom floor of their house, right? That's like you go to Ireland or Sicily or Thailand or, you know, Europe, all these different places. The downstairs is the bakery, the upstairs the house. It's this mixed use. That seemed to be like what happened for centuries, right? So people do that. And so if you have a simple skill that you can market it right there. And Thomas and Bino, if you guys are okay, I'm going to like bring Bev and Lee into the conversation just a little bit to bring it up a little bit higher to understand what are the challenges the county has, and then we'll kind of bounce around back and forth between a local example and I think I'll start with Lee. Lee, hi.
Thank you. Hi, Felicia.
And let's see, you're nice and tall. You're going to have to move that right up next to your mouth.
All right. Oops. Is that okay? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
So I did want to segue into this conversation because I think it's a really good conversation to have, and something that the county is looking at really as part of its general plan process is really the issue of economic development and what are the types of things that we could encourage on Kauai that would create jobs, that would create income for people, create living wages for people. And you know, you mentioned the idea of commercial kitchens and all of the onerous codes that goes into and the expense of building them. And to provide a bit of a cop-out, a lot of that comes from the State Department of Health and not from the county in terms of codes.
And some of it comes from the feds. I'm not blaming the county.
So, I mean, the county has to enforce those codes, but we don't always create those codes or have the leeway to reduce those codes.
Right.
But that being said, I think that's a really good community discussion to have of what kind of partnerships could be put in place to make it easier for people to do those things. So like you were saying, what are the things that people want to make and where might they go to do that? And is having commercial kitchens in various places that are kind of like cooperative kitchens, does that work? And the issue of people not wanting to schlep their materials back and forth, do those kitchens need to include some kind of storage for people so they don't have to do that? I mean, those are kinds
That's
of all
right.
the interesting kind of policy level discussions that the county can't solve all those things, but the county can certainly assist in the conversation about what's needed and how can we make those things happen.
Exactly. It's a conversation, and one of the reasons why I'm bringing this conversation up on the air is, and as one who attends a lot of meetings, is sometimes people fight things after the fact. And so, you know, we have good, well-intended organizations that are really, really trying hard to help the community. And, well, okay, they spend all this money, they invest all this money, and it's just too much trouble to come and make your tortillas or whatever else in this window of time. We need to be able to not waste the resource. I think I'm hearing that people want to make sure that if they're building a pavilion, that they're actually building the right type of place for people to come and be able to do things. But what I watch in attending council meetings and different community meetings is sometimes people don't have a lot of tolerance for each other. They don't want parking at the house next door, or they don't want to hear the stereo, or they don't want to hear this, or they don't want to hear that. And it becomes part of all of our tolerance for each other. Something I've seen that the county planning department is doing is this thing called form-based code. I personally really like that because that places an area in maybe more in the town core where people can do work out of their home. I think that a lot of times that becomes so cost prohibitive if you're doing something very simple that's like one customer at a time, one client, like haircutting or massage, or you're doing somebody's books or maybe helping them with their website. What's the difference between having a friend stop by and having somebody stop by and actually working with them a little bit? And so if we have areas in the community where people can work and live in the same place, then their business is a lot more tenable. It's 5 o'clock. I want to say this is Kauai Soapbox with Felicia at KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, and I've got a great room of people in here with me. I have Marshall, who's always part of the team, helping with answering, Thomas Delbert, Bino Costello from Ananaho Community Park, and I've got Bev Brody and from UH. Got that right. She helps with so many things. She wears so many hats, it's hard to know which hat she has on in the moment. And then Lee Steinmetz. And so Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kauai Store.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Haleiwa.
The Kauai Store is located in Kapa'a on the highway in front of Kostulas. The store has authentic Kauai products including clothing, snacks, art, coffee, crafts, and more. We even have local food samples. The Kauai Store products are also available online at thekauaistore.com.
Aloha, listeners of KKCR. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global news hour, urging you to support Kauai Community Radio. As a beacon of free speech, KKCR has been broadcasting from their jungle shack and building community in the island since 1997. KKCR brings you Hawaiian culture and music, independent voices and choices like Democracy Now!, otherwise shut out from the corporate media. During this program, please show your love for KKCR by making an investment in the station that loves you and become a sustaining member. Your monthly support at any level will pay dividends all year long and ensure the continued success of Kauai Community Radio. From our family at Democracy Now! To your ohana in the center of the Pacific, mahalo for your support. It really does make a difference.
Yes, mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. I got a Christmas card from Democracy Now!, so they had their team on there. It was really affirming because there's like 40 people to do, you know, their one-hour show. So I'm like, okay, if I miss a button every once in a while, we're a team of two. Okay, we're going to take this call, and then we'll come back to you, Lee. Aloha, thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Hi, how's the reception?
Kind of a little shaky, but if you make your point clear and quickly, concise, we'll probably be able to get it.
I just want to talk about the Aloha concept versus the selling food for elsewhere versus selling foods for here. That those are three things that sort of, I feel like, need to be talked about.
Okay, so let me see if I understand you clearly, because you are a little bit crackly. When you're saying the Aloha concept, meaning when people share food with their friends and neighbors, that's one way, and I'm a big part of that in our whole community. We're in the whole community in this Kilauea area where we're speaking of, Kilauea, Anahola, Princeville, the farm community is very big on that. Then there's another kind where it is food for selling that is done to be sold on island, and then you're speaking about food for export. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
So what is your core concern in the challenges with those three things?
Well, I think that all three of those things then come in competition with imported products, and that there's financial pressure about that. Imported products can be, when I go to buy taro, for example, I might spend $6 on a on a chunk of taro. And whereas if I get it at the store that it's already been made into poi, I might spend $3 for a little tub. And it's not local. And so my point is that how can we work together? I'm just going to let that be. You guys can talk about that on your own. But I think that those four ideas should be discussed.
Okay.
And then the other is that I think that as a pavilion, there should be a place where people can bring their trees worth of harvest. For example, if I have a jackfruit tree and I have a great recipe for making enchiladas from jackfruit, basically, you know, like a barbecue or a Mexican sauce with jackfruit, and I could jar 50 jars of that, but, you know, then that's going to be it. I'm not going to have any for another 6 months on my tree. So the idea to be able to do that, and maybe some of it's for Aloha gifts and some of it I'm going to sell to people locally, but are we going to be then also selling that to people to take off island? I don't know. So my goal is to have a processing place where people can make food for each other in their community. They can also sell it to people in the community. And then thirdly would be to export it.
Okay.
So talking about those three or four different criteria.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thomas, I would say all of the above is the answer for what could happen in your kitchen, correct?
Absolutely. The kitchen, the farmer's market, the opportunity for regular festivals and other gatherings that we would seek to host at Aninaho for other opportunities for people to share.
She's speaking specifically about the kitchen. So she's giving the example of, hey, she's got a little bit of a bumper amount of a certain piece. And jackfruit, I haven't done that pulled pork type of food from it yet. But so she's saying, well, would people be limited for resale? No, not at all, right? That's just like when we're looking at if people are trying to do it as economic development.
Yeah, our model is to find a time and space that has the right cost for someone to be able to come in and use our kitchen, and whether you're going to share that food with your family, sell it locally at one of our beautiful markets or one of our health food stores, or package that and take it off the island. All blessings to you as an entrepreneur, and ours is the incubator to help make that possible.
Right. So just being able to do whatever you want with it. But when we are looking, if somebody is trying to create it for money, at a farmers union meeting, you weren't there. It was really good. I'm going to say it. Ray Maki, who is our president of the farmers union, he was making pesticides out of things like oregano and Tulsi basil, and then you could drink it. It's basically like brandy. But there's other things that you can do with orange peels and vinegar, and you can make it for cleaning your counter and killing the ants, and you could put it on your salad. You know, so there's all kinds of ways. And so when she was saying that, I'm kind of on her page. I'd like to be able to do all of the above. Though usually if it's a share-out gift, it's not going to go to Foodland. You know, it's not going to be at the level of doing that.
One of the things we'd spoken about as well is that Aninaho has an opportunity to provide space for educating people on just the types of things that we're talking about here today, that, you know, as a gathering place to bring together people with their beautiful mana'o to share. And that is indeed part of our mission, is to provide the space for people to come together, whether they share the same views or they don't, as you were speaking about earlier in the show as well, but to come together and see that this is the diversity of our North Shore community, and to learn about beautiful concepts like sustainable gardening, making pesticides out of oregano. I mean, it's the sky's the limit.
The sky's the limit, and I'm sure that Lee probably knows about other places.
I just think we just have to find the demand and the need for this facility, and how in the capacity we can use it from start to finish, from where we're getting these resources from, the farmers, who's going to grab these resources and make it into a product, and where these things are going to go and sell. So this is a bigger picture that we have to look at, and we have to do a survey between our restaurants and how people eat and what is the need there. Then we can get a better grasp of what's the needs for our community.
And if people go golfing, they could probably come in and say, hey, is Tom or Bino there? We have a call holding. We're going to take that call. I think we're going to take two calls, and then I'm going to stop taking calls for a little bit because I want to pick Lee and Bev's brain. Aloha, you're on the air.
Aloha, Felicia. This is Jay Dewar calling.
Hi.
Hi. I wanted to call in. There's a lot of topics I'd like to talk about. Foremost, I want to talk about Prince Hill Playground and Park across from the library. They're spraying toxins, harsh toxins, that is, like Roundup and insecticides like Seven, S-E-V-I-N, on the park there and the playground, and they are refusing to dialogue about it. They're completely content with the situation, and I want to raise this issue with
So, Jay, thank you for calling that in, and I let you be able to express that. And then, like, you know, I've told you I've gone in there and talked to Rory Enright. And
Rory Enright, general manager.
Give general manager. Everybody. People could give him a call. And, you know, it is Kauai Nursery and Landscaping who actually does the management of the park, and we have sent things in. And, like, how can we look at other types of possibilities, like heat, steam, flame, something, you know, so the discussion is there. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. There's lots of issues that they're not talking about. How about the rubbish in Princeville?
Okay, that is a different topic than we're really working on right now.
Yeah. The dumpsters are full of recyclables. They're full of hazardous materials like fluorescent light bulbs. They're not getting sorted. And this isn't an interest issue that Rory is interested in talking about, or speak of the Nine of Ho for all the dialogue. Mr. Dole, the board president, he's not interested in talking about landfill, the Mauna Kea disputes, you know, a moot point. For all the talk about dialogue at the Nine of Ho, they won't talk about anything with me, and they haven't for about a year or more.
Okay,
they're full of it.
Okay, so thank you so much. And I know a lot of times it's style. But thank you, because I know that they care, but you're bringing up really important points. So I appreciate your call.
Thank you. We'll work on it.
I got to get the next call. Thank you so much. Aloha. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm calling back. First of all, I want to plug Zero Waste for that guy. Everybody that's frustrated and furious, be volunteering for Zero Waste.
That would be good. Jay could maybe go to Zero Waste and help, for sure.
Yeah. So I wanted to say the other component about, I love this kitchen idea, but as the guy said that just spoke not long ago, he said, you know, how are we going to make this work? Where's the food going to come from, and where's it going to go? And I think that we really need some sort of cooperative, some kind of phone number that you can call that says, my tree's going off, and I need somebody to come and get all this food. Because there's all kinds of food rotting all over this island all the time. And, you know, the people that have the trees are not necessarily the entrepreneurs that want to make the jam from it. So we need to get connected in that way.
Have you come to the Kauai Farmers Union meetings?
I haven't.
So they are the second Wednesday of every month, and one of the things that is on our agenda and we're looking to work on is to have, I learned this new word, business-to-business e-commerce. That's the expensive word, but like a database. And Colin Darrell, who was on one of these shows, I liked how he framed it. It's like online dating for farmers and restaurants, and so people can go in and put what they have on the database, and other people can say, okay, I need this, and they can make purchases off of that. And then I think there's a lot of potential to work with what we would call gleaning. That's something that's on the discussion, and the Rotary Club is really great with this, and the food pantries, so that like a team could come out, and they need to be well trained, so they only take the ripe fruit, but to be gleaning the excess, and then, you know, maybe leaving a box for the homeowner, but then taking it to the food pantries or whatever way else that it is gets directed for share out. We had a caller before that was talking about between share, sell, and export. And the real challenge is when people are doing it as a business and other people are giving it away, and some people can't afford it anyway. So how do we get the food distributed well? So I'm looking at Lee again, who doesn't have the authority to say yes or no on all of these ideas I have, but I really do want to work on as we can get community development block grants, either through economic development or through the Department of Ag, and Ige is going to be here with these people, is looking at how do we get grants to help us really get this kind of infrastructure in our food-producing community of the farms so that it gets out, it gets used in the right way. So I'm giving you maybe more of an answer than you were calling in for, but are you okay?
Yeah, I was just giving food for thought. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, Lee, you're on stage. All right, I want you to talk about traffic, too. I mean, anything you want to talk about, because I drag you up here, and I'm so thankful that you came up from the county, Bev, you too, from UH. That's the hat she's wearing. I'm teasing her now. I really love this woman, and she's got a lot of spunk, so she can manage. And she does great things. Lee, you're on.
I'm on. I get to just talk about whatever.
You get to just share your mano'o.
Okay. Well, thank you for inviting me to be here. And I invited Bev to be here because we really partner a lot with Get Fit Kauai, the county, and Get Fit Kauai, especially on how we do public outreach and getting the community involved in the various things that we're working on.
And you're working on transportation, right?
Right. And yes. So maybe I'll just start by talking about transportation. There's a couple things going on that I think people are aware of. One is the county's doing their general plan update, which will include a transportation component. But then we're also doing right now a transit feasibility study to look at how we can expand our transit service and specifically how we might have better shuttle service. And by shuttles, I mean local service as opposed to regional service on the North Shore, the South Shore, and the East Side. And looking at this as one component of addressing our congestion issue. And, the biggest issue I hear about most of the time in meetings that I attend, well, there's several issues I hear, but one of the biggest issues is congestion, and particularly congestion on the east side and through Kapaa. And a lot of people ask, well, what are we doing about that, or what are we doing in general about our transportation needs? And there's different strategies that can be used to address this. When some people say, you know, we should just put all our money into building roads, all our money that most people drive, and we should just put all our money into that and not worry about
shaking your head. Okay.
About other modes of transportation. And actually, this was looked at by the State Department of Transportation that did a long-range transportation plan. And when you look at trying to accommodate traffic and growth on the island just through roads alone, the costs are in the billions of dollars in terms of the number of lanes that would need to be added in order to do this. And the amount of money that is available is in the millions of dollars. And so there's just this huge gap, this huge funding gap, which makes it really clear that's not really a viable solution. So we have to look at other ways of doing this. And another plan that the county did a few years ago that was adopted by council is what we call our multimodal land transportation plan. And this takes a different approach of looking at, look, we know that people are going to use their cars, and that's totally fine. And we're not saying people shouldn't use cars. But if we can provide people choices for different types of trips, that we can reduce the amount of automobile use, which then addresses congestion, it helps our environment, it helps our health, it helps our dollars in our pocket, it helps all sorts of things. So this is the strategy that we're using to look at transit as a component of our transportation system for both local and regional trips, looking at bicycling as a viable mode of transportation, mostly for shorter trips, and also looking at walking. And so this comes up to another comment that I get at a lot of meetings, which is, I would really like to walk. I would really like to ride my bike, but I just don't feel it's safe. And I don't feel like I can have my kids do that. And by the way, I might also add a key component of this is a program that Bev and I work on a lot together called Safe Routes to School, which is creating walkable and bikeable pedestrian environments around our schools. And the reason I bring that up is, I don't know how many people notice, but when you are driving and you look at the amount of congestion that we have, it's considerably less when school's out. Even if it's a peak tourist time, but at school is out, the traffic is way less. So we know that a significant portion of our traffic issue is related to schools and people dropping their kids off. And granted, there are a lot of people who live too far from school that their kids cannot walk. But there are maybe 40 to 50% of the kids that actually live within walking and biking distance. So if we can create a pedestrian and bicycle infrastructure around our schools so kids, teachers, parents can walk and bike to school, not only are we creating a healthier environment for our kids, but we're also reducing our congestion. So this is kind of the overall strategy that the county is approaching, and there's a lot of different things that are going on right now in terms of actual infrastructure improvements around schools that we're working on, community meetings that we've had in various places to define what that might look like. Again, this transit study that we're working on.
Can you tell them what that TIGER grant is and where that is being expressed and what TIGER stands for?
Yeah, so TIGER stands for Transportation Improvement Generating Economic Recovery. And it was, it started right after the Great Recession when there was the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act.
In the 2008, so they called that, I forget.
ARRA. It was, well, but TIGER grew out of that. That was when it first started.
The stimulus package.
Right.
Right.
So meaning they were trying to re-stimulate the economy after we had the big collapse in 2008.
Correct.
Okay.
So this is a program of the United States Department of Transportation. It's a federal program. Transportation investments, that's what it is. Transportation investments generating economic recovery. And the program was so popular, they just have continued it year after year after year. And it's funded by Congress. This last round, there was $500 million nationwide that was given, that Congress approved for USDOT to do through a grant process. So the county applied for a grant, and just to pat our backs a little bit, there was $500 million available. USDOT received about...
Department of Transportation.
Yeah, U.S. Department of Transportation received about $10 billion in applications. So they only awarded about 5%, 5 to 6% of the applications that were received, and... County of Kauai was one of those that...
And did you do that? She's pointing
yes,
big fingers.
Okay, it was a team. Well, it was a team.
It was
a huge team effort.
But you did the majority of the writing. You organized. You recruited. You Lee is the hero.
And can I give you...
Ann Wooten as well helped with
Ann
the
Wooten?
Writing.
Okay.
Ann Wooten helped with the writing, but Lee definitely took the lead and spent... hours, seriously hours on this, and well worth it. Because it's not every day you win $13.8 million. And that's basically what we've done.
And I want to echo what she's sharing with a shout out for you, is that I've gone to a number of these transportation charrettes, like three or four day things where you're going and you're really listening to the people. You're doing a really, really good job of doing that. And I am so pleased with how many people come out from the county. You've got the engineer out there, public works. You've got all these heads out there, and they're listening to the people, and they're walking the streets, and you, yay, have done your homework. I like that you seem to be pulling in what worked in this town, some obscure place on the continent, and this other town in some other obscure place. I appreciate, I don't know where you're doing your study or if you travel all over to some obscure place that is the size of Hanapepe or, you know, but you're doing a good job at that. I really want to honor you. Sometimes callers will say, the government's doing this wrong. I want to say I'm observing you doing something that I at least really applaud.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. So going back to TIGER.
Yes.
So the application that the county did was it's called the Lihue Town Core Mobility and Revitalization Plan. And it focused on Lihue Town based on, again, past planning that's been done, the Lihue Town Core Urban Design Plan being really key to that was approved, I think, in 2010 or thereabouts.
Yeah.
And anyway, it really looked at how can we revitalize Lihue Town? What are the transportation components that we need? So how can we improve the pedestrian environment of Rice Street? Again, we did Rice Street workshops similar to what you're describing, where a lot of people said, man, I'd really like to walk on Rice Street, but I don't feel as safe to cross the street right now, and it's just not comfortable. So we looked at how can we make that more pedestrian-friendly. We have a component of improving our transit service by creating a transit hub on Ava Street, and the first part of that's built now, just only one part of it, through the Hardy Street improvements. We're connecting to the recently completed Hardy Street improvements. Anyway, doing a whole series of bicycle, pedestrian, and transit improvements in the town core that serve Wilcox Elementary, that make it easier for people who work in Lihue Town to be able to walk to lunch for lunch, for people who visit the Kauai Museum to want to spend more time and actually hang out in the town and explore it a little bit more. So really as a catalyst for economic development.
And I think once those trees are grown in, mm-hmm. it'll instead of feeling like an asphalt and concrete community, it's going to go back to feeling a little bit more like the Garden Island. Mm-hmm. And so 5 years from now, I think we're going to be able to appreciate it more. I will be honest, I'm hearing people complain, but they're the people in the cars. And so when we're doing multimodal, it's going, okay, who are we giving the preference mm-hmm. to, the people on their feet or the people on their bikes or the people in the cars? And so this is causing the people in the cars to have to go a little slower, have to be a little bit more intentional.
That was the intent of Hardy Street. It's in front of a school. School zone speed is 15 miles an hour. And so people were definitely not obeying that. There are three speed zones to every street. There is the posted speed zone. There is the speed that people travel. And there's the speed that the road is designed for. And Hardy Street, back when we weren't as clear, was not designed for 15 miles an hour. And so now through building capacity and education. And we've also got Michael Moll on board as well, Michael and Lee.
The county engineer.
Yes, chief of engineering. They were able to design this along with, did we have a design crew on Hardy Street?
We had some consultants, yeah.
Consultants. Anyway, regardless, the complaints we get is, I'm going to hit that curb. It's like not if you go slow enough, not if you drive the speed limit. So now we have a street that is complete. It accommodates pedestrians, it accommodates transit, it accommodates bicycles, it accommodates people of all ages and physical abilities and cars at the speed. So that is the street is finally designed for the speed limit, and hopefully people will travel that speed limit.
I'm glad you're bringing that up, because there's places like at Loom High where people will drive to the capacity of the road. So when there's a 25 mile an hour road, when the road naturally wants to allow you to go 50 miles an hour, people are going to go 50 miles an hour. They're not even thinking about it.
That's exactly right.
They're not even thinking about it. In Kilauea, we need some traffic calming somehow, because people are coming through there 35 miles an hour. I mean, they should be going 35 miles an hour. They're going 55 miles an hour, and people are getting killed, you know, turning left in and out, you know. And so we might, right across from Ananaho, have the new roadway into the back side, and that would be helpful. You know, we're looking at things like that. I'm taking advantage of you and giving you my plug. We are putting too much concentration of services into Lihue. I think the more that we have places in the outlying areas, and so like when Ananaho is looking at maybe having films and more entertainment and things like that, instead of having to do everything I'd love to see out of your jurisdiction, but the courthouses decentralized again, everything that we do now, we got to go to Lihue. There's not more people on here than pre-hurricane, but there's more cars and there's more cars traveling. And so when you're looking at a transportation study, it is, aside from the way the roads are built, it's what's put where, and then you're going to have an issue with that. And you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. Bev Brody and Lee Steinmetz are in the discussion. So the general plan is looking at including the transportation piece, right? And that's your main emphasis?
Yes, yeah, so the general plan will absolutely have a transportation component. And just to bring up something that you just brought up about, it's so important that we look at transportation and land use together. And that's something also that the general plan will do. And making that is absolutely a part of, again, reducing our congestion, is if we can make our communities have more of what they need to be self-sufficient and people can walk or bike within their community and not have to go to Lihue all the time, that's a huge help. So looking at the land use mixes and how that works in each community is really an important component of the general plan as well. I wanted to go back to a couple other things that were said previously. One, talking about just our roads and what Bev mentioned, really part of what we're shifting is for a very long time, I mean, not forever, but maybe the past 40, 50 years, there's roads have really been thought about as being for cars. And all of the design and engineering of the roads went into moving cars quickly and efficiently. And what we're realizing now is roads are really a huge component of our public realm, of what the public owns, and they should be for people, not just for cars. And cars are still a huge user, and we're not saying that people shouldn't use cars, but we're trying to make it so people have a choice. It's about choice, and that there are other choices that are safe for people. And also what's interesting is when you make a road safer for pedestrians and bicyclists and you incorporate transit, it also becomes safer for cars, and it reduces accidents and injuries for cars as well. So it's really a huge win-win for everybody. And again, I'm not discouraging car use. We just have to accommodate all users in our roads.
Well, I have a listener who's commenting on the cycle signage and the road striping improvements at, you know, Kauai High and Kapaa Middle School. And, you know, the main question is who do they thank? Because they really want to say a big mahalo for how much is
my
that?
My God. Get that person's name.
I'll give it to you later.
That's awesome.
That one's really a keeper.
That's a keeper. We'll take that,
that
call.
That is awesome, and thank you so much. And this is something that we're looking at as well. I believe what the caller is talking about is Mailihuna Road and by Kapaa High School and Olehena Road by Kapaa Middle School were recently resurfaced. And as we do our resurfacing, instead of putting the paint on the road the way it was, we're looking at, can we change the paint, the stripes on the road, to accommodate more users? And this is like a really inexpensive way to make these changes without all of the infrastructure needs of building a new sidewalk or widening a road or whatever. So on both of those roads, what we did is in the downhill direction, when a bike can go fairly fast, there's what are called shared lane markings. Sometimes they're called sharrows. And there's signs that say bicyclists may use the full lane. So in the downhill direction, a bicycle can ride in the lane with cars. And because it's downhill, they're going almost the same speed as cars. So there's really not a lot of conflict. And then in the uphill direction, we've either striped a shoulder or a bike lane. So bikes can get out of the way of cars and have a protected space, and cars can move forward. And the width of both of those roads, you know, ideally we'd like to put bike lanes in both directions, but there wasn't enough width to do that. So we did the best that we could with the space that we have. So that's something, again, Bev mentioned Michael Moll, who's chief of engineering, and Michael and I get together and we look at the roads for that are going to be resurfaced, and we think about how can we reallocate the space that we have to accommodate more users.
And I've gone to a handful of your charrettes where you're, is that the right word for it?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have little boards up all over the place and experts are standing there and you can come and you can give your ideas. If people have missed that, is there a number or can they just she's not saying
I'm just
no,
kidding. I'm
no,
just kidding.
Well, she's saying it doesn't. Well, because what I watch when I go to these meetings is it's the same handful of people. I start to worry, okay, am I. They get tired of saying, oh, here's Felicia again. She's going to share her mana'o. But, you know, not enough people come in. And so if people have a big concern, but I like this because people will get healthier. Okay. Actually, we have two callers. We're going to take them. And callers, before you come on the air, I'm going to have them be quick because we're getting towards the end of the show and there's a few key things that we need to bring up. But we want to hear from you. Aloha. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Oh, aloha. Yeah, two things. I was, I work in the county, real property section, and I go to work every day in that, Lihue core. And, the thing with the traffic, is everybody thought about, you know, in Japan, if your car is over 5 years old, you have to pay more to get it registered. That's one way to get rid of the cars that you, that aren't supposed to be on the road. I mean, it's kind of a draconian measure, but the other one I was thinking was they should put somebody back where the old Big Save was, because you have all these elderly people that live in the Lihue Court. They go to walk to, used to walk to Big Save. Mm-hmm. Now they got to catch a bus to get all the way to Kukui Grove just to go shop. Should have something back in that space instead of the homeless in front of the campsite. That's all I got to say. Yeah.
Okay, well, we're getting some vigorous head nods in here. They can't hear that. Do you want to
know? Well, because I think I'll let Lee, since he's from the county, maybe he'd like to comment on that. But awesome comments, both of them, except if we had to give up our cars. If they were 5 years, mine would be gone. And it still runs well.
Right, and we have people who are just struggling to survive, and so yeah. I hate to, like, punish them for being poor, but I'm hearing it. And so, quick, but, and then we have...
On the second one, the Big Save... I really appreciate that comment, and that is something the county is working on. I can't really say much more than that, but we're aware of that issue and recognize that it would be super helpful to have something in there, and that's something that is, let me just say it's in progress.
Okay. Felicia's giving another just shameless plug. Because I'm all about, you know, locally grown food. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have almost like a market of locally grown food in there, something like that. Anyway, I'm plugging that because there is actually so much food available, or even if there was a food pantry in there, you know, because many people, there's a strong cluster of homeless in that area. Aloha, you are on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Good.
Hey, this is Ian Moon. I'm with the Ag Lab, and we're setting up something down in the south side.
Perfect.
And
can you speak right into your phone?
Right into it. Okay.
Perfect.
How's that?
That's good.
Okay. And I'm, you know, interested in a lot of things that are being said, and I wanted to get some contact information from those guys so I could find out what they're doing and what mistakes they've come up with, and, you know, obviously working together has its benefits to not working together. So, really, I just wanted to get some information from the person that's there. I came in halfway through, so I missed...
So make your question really clear, because I didn't quite understand. Frame your question very clearly.
My question, it's actually an off-air question. It's just I want to make contact with the people that are doing that community kitchen.
Oh, okay. Nainoho. Okay, yeah. Thomas, give them, how do they contact you?
My number is 442-2108. And that's Thomas Daubert at Nainoho. I welcome your call.
Okay,
is
Thomas.
That good?
This is Ian Moon from the Ag Lab, and I'll give you a call tomorrow.
Thank you.
Okay, Ag Labs. We want to have you in here sometime. Okay.
Okay. Aloha.
Aloha. Two more very quick calls. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Aloha.
Yes?
Chief Robert Paglia.
You're on the air.
Yes, I just calling to, you know, everybody wants to change Hanalei. They want to change the zoning. They want to change the beach. They want to give it to the county. My question is, how come they don't take away every house that's on the beach from Hanalei Pia to Grandpa's and turn that whole thing into a park, and they can put all the concession stands they want? Because Hanalei Pia is the last place we get to park on the beach. Why are they going to take what little we have away when we can take away all these rich people's houses and take away all the houses and make one whole park from here to the grandpa's and one nice back bike pad and one nice exercise gym area. This is the kind of things the county should be thinking about instead of taking away Hanalei Pier and putting concession stands and taking us off the beach so some rich people on the hill cannot see us.
So,
you know, they should really think about doing something like that. So,
caller, you're speaking about the Black Pot Park Management Plan. And, like, I did go to that last meeting. And were you at that? They had that at Hanalei School Cafeteria. And they did put up the rules that says, you know, both the state and the county say no parking on the beach. But then they had us all do this little exercise with the diagrams and allowed people to put the parking wherever they wanted, including on the beach. I know that that was a, I believe what you're saying, the adverse possession, or they, like, condemned the Sheehan property right there to add it to the county. So that's...
Why don't they do the rest? All the way down to Grandpa's, they do the same. Why do them to one and not do them to the rest?
Well, they have to pay them for it. They don't just get to take it, they have to buy it.
Well, they never pay us for the land they stole from us.
Good point.
They never paid for anything, so why not they're going to start paying this person who really don't own the land, and they're going to pay that person the money that's not even the real owners of the lands.
Okay, so...
It makes sense, right? He's taking them from one hand, they're putting them in another hand, and they're feeding themselves with it.
Okay, so I'm getting what you're saying, and because I have to take another caller, but I'm just going to cap that where this is a regular topic that we have here is the injustice that has happened to the indigenous people.
Uh-huh.
And having studied it, you know, like from the time that I started doing the show till now, like at first you're thinking, oh, well, it's just like, well, isn't it like wherever else? But if you look at the laws, I'm going to validate what this caller is saying, is that in the last 150 years, great illegal injustice has happened, and he's valid on that. And that said, caller, it's not so easy to actually just take everybody's property, even though it was done to your ancestors. And I want to apologize on air to you that these kind of injustices did happen in these islands. It did happen. The land was stolen, and the people have been displaced. So I'm recognizing that, and I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Thank you. And we all, you know, Lord said, forgive everybody no matter what. But one more small topic is that the high water mark.
Go right into the phone, please. The high water mark.
High water mark when it's at the high water. The state don't own that high water mark. And the county can't say they run anything below the high water mark. So the Hanalei Beach that we drive on, it belongs, actually, it's international waters. Because the high water mark is way above what they're saying it is. It's above our parking lot. Sometimes it even goes in our park.
Well,
so
I will...
the county jurisdiction would lie from that high water mark into their park and not onto the beach, so they cannot be giving tickets. They cannot be harassing anybody on that beach.
Well, that came up also, and the Department of Land and Natural Resources, that would normally be their Kuleana right there on the beach, and I was really surprised. The consultant that was in there, they didn't challenge people on that parking yet. It wasn't really said, the line in the sand, every pun intended, was not placed on that. And what I do want to also acknowledge where the caller is bringing up really good points, like I used to run that beach daily, and along the houses that he's speaking of that he would like to see reclaimed, a number of them, I won't say which right now, but I can tell you at least eight, at about 4 o'clock at night, mature plants are starting being put down, you know, 5 feet into, 10 feet into, eventually like 20 feet into the sand. And so they the accretion, I think that would be the right word. Is that right? Where the land seems to be going out further.
Yes.
And then, like, I know that I've gone to other meetings where they're saying, okay, there's no erosion. Actually, it's going out further. And they show where oh, no, they'll show where the sand is coming up in the middle of the yard, and they're saying, hey, this is global warming. This is that the ocean is coming up. And I sit there, and I'm just, like, shocked because I'm thinking, no, the beach was stolen. And so what happens is the people who have their babies along the kind of the safe area, or if you're running in the wintertime, all of a sudden there's no beach anymore to run on because these yards have encroached on the land. So when people are listening and they're hearing this man saying, oh, what, they haven't really stolen this stuff, the little toggle of who has what land happens all the time. And so I am acknowledging, and caller, do I know you? I'm not sure if I do, but...
Yes, this is Chief Robert Paugh.
Oh, hi. Okay. All right.
And one more small thing is, okay, all those houses that have that beach fronts, their boundary line is, their grass is way on past their boundary.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And it was planted later.
The county got to go in there and take this beach back and take it back away from them and put their boundary lines where their boundary line is and... you know, make tables for the public.
Okay, so
it's
Chief,
a nice place that can hang out.
Chief, I have a question for you then.
Sure.
And this is something, because I'm watching this as we have beach accesses taken. We have, this is a constant issue. A lot of these families, and not necessarily right on that beach, but that beach and others, their annual income is greater than the county's, right? So it's a lot to be taking on all these law things. So, Robert, I'm going to let Lee answer that, and then we're going to have to kind of start in our wrap-up session of the show. So I'm going to have Lee respond to that, but I think that your point has been well made.
So, yeah, it's an excellent point. I just would like to encourage people to participate in the Blackpot Beach Master Plan process, which... as far as I know, that's not my department. That's Parks and Recreation Department that's doing that. But as far as I know, that first meeting was really to get input from the public.
It was the second meeting, yes.
Oh, the second meeting, sorry. And I don't really think that any decision has been made about uses within that area. It was really to gather input. And I think at some time in the future, the consultants that are working on that and the Parks and Recreation Department will come back with some options that people can look at. So anyway, I just encourage people to participate and comment on it.
And he exceeded my expectation. Robert, I'm gonna just take this on my own, okay?
Okay. You know, just one more small thing.
Okay.
You know how often we go on and local people show up to all these meetings and later on they do exactly what they didn't want them to do. And that is why today all these locals, they don't come out to these meetings.
Yeah.
Because they get children to feed, they got things to do, they got animals to take care of, cattle to pull. But yet they got to go there and try and put their input in something that they're not even going to be heard anymore. So the people, the public you're getting, is people that have moved here. That's not Aboriginal people from the land.
For the most part, what you're saying is true.
Have to get consent from.
Yeah.
They have the right to give you guys that consent. And without their consent, these people who had moved here, even if it was 10 years ago, they still no more on right to give you that consent. And, you know, and it's kind of hard, and you guys are in a hard position, and you guys, you know, the county and the state is, like, in a really hard position, but yet you still got to listen to the people. There's the kingdom. There's something that has an entity about the state and county. And maybe they should start looking at these people for answers. Because the Konohikis and the older people, they know about the land. They know about the certain districts. And there are people out there that really knows. And you guys should really try and find these guys so that maybe the county and state can start fixing up everything and making things work between the people and the county and the state.
So
if not, we're going to have a big problem like we do today.
So thank you. And, yes, there is some co-stewardship efforts like the Ahamoku and... you know, there's a whole nother topic when we look at what's going on with the department.
We should be building canoes for the Polynesian kids, for any other kid, no matter what their race, to come and learn this culture, to learn about this culture, what we should be having around here that would save us money from going here to Oahu instead of paying on a ridiculous price, air price, and
okay,
you know, bringing stuff back and forth. But God bless and thank you.
Thank you so much. So I want to actually speak to what he's bringing up, because this is a reoccurring theme, show after show. And, you know, at some level, we're here now, meaning the people in the county or the state, didn't create the heva, as he would say, that has come. So it's like, okay, well, we're here now. Where do we go with it? But, like, for people who are relatively new to the island that are driving down the road and they're thinking, huh, it's not as out there as it might seem when he's saying it. And then so something that I find as a participant in this projects, we are relying more and more on contractors. And so I gave you the really big Lee Steinmetz, and the person said, okay, I didn't say directly, we just inferred that it was you who did those nice stripings, Lee Steinmetz. You get the big kudos for doing that. So, yay, Lee. So, Lee, you do a very good job in these charrettes. Something that I watch with some concern is that we need to have consulting firms that are centered on Kauai, because we bring these consultants and they're beautiful, wonderful people that are just as nice as pie. They're from Oahu or somewhere else. They come over, they get the same overly busy citizens advisory committees, and they come up with a pretty narrow subset. And then, like, the last people who came were from San Francisco, wonderful, who did the regional plans, really, really wonderful. And they come in, they do their best, they're given really narrow parameters. And, you know, the guy's leaving to go to the airport, and I'm saying, hey, you know, it seems a little odd that right here where we're saying we want to move some of the development, that's a buffalo field, it's a marsh, it's a wetland, there's a river in between, it doesn't make sense to build over there. He's like, oh, there's buffalo in Hanalei? It's like, oh, well, you know, yes, there's buffalo in Hanalei. Who's ever in planning should know that there's buffalo in Hanalei. And so when we become so reliant on outside contractors, we saw that also with the water. And we're learning that these numbers where the water consultant they're using, it comes from the Department of Land and Natural Resources, but it's known to be false, that the baseline numbers that the DLNR, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, in 1990, they took the rock structure, the geologic structure of Oahu, and they just coupled it with the rainfall of Kauai, and they picked their sustainable yield as separate. And so that water plan is not finished. So when we've got these layers and layers of effort that go on top. So we have a water plan that they acknowledge their baseline numbers that they're starting with are way over capacity for what is reality. So that feathers into the general plan update. And again, it is contractors on Oahu looking at the water, contractors on Oahu looking at the general plan, subcontractors from California looking at this region where that last caller just called from, the contractor who's actually working on the park there, he was a pretty good guy. I was actually pleased. He was like a lifeguard from Oahu who's become a contractor. So it's complex.
So, yeah, there's a lot of layers there, but if I could maybe just comment a little bit on that. Just to back up, that the striping of the roads, I have to give credit to the Public Works Department and our engineering division who really did the design for that.
This guy wants names.
okay, I'll be happy to give him.
Okay, who did the good job?
Oh, well, Michael Mole, chief of the engineering division, and his staff need to be commended for that. So anyway, the issue of public involvement and how do we do this and who do we hire to do things. First of all, as you mentioned, Felicia, having attended some of these design charrettes, as we call them, or these kind of intensive community workshops that go over a few series of days. And I have to thank Bev for this, because we've been able to build our internal capacity as the county through attending a lot of trainings, going to workshops, having people come here to train us. But building our internal capacity, we're able to do a lot more of that in-house than we used to be able to do. And so I think that really helps. And also, I just really want to say it's a lot of it is the attitude of either the staff or the people that are hired, that perhaps we have some technical expertise that we can provide and give guidance on. But just like that caller who called, it's the local people who are the experts. It's the people who live here who know what's going on a day-to-day basis, who live it on a day-to-day basis. And that's the information that, you know, like I live in Kapaa, so I know Kapaa pretty well, but I don't know Hanalei that well. So I rely on the residents of Hanalei or Kilauea to provide that expertise of living locally. And our processes should be such that that becomes the expertise, and then whoever we either do in-house or hire provides that technical guidance to make it work. And so those examples that you gave are really, it's important that the staff, the county staff or whoever's running the process, really take charge of the consultant to make sure they understand what's going on and really help guide that process. And I mean, this is a work in progress. We can always improve on it. I totally understand the caller's frustration of like, why come to these meetings? Decisions are already been made. There's nothing that we can say that will change anything, and we're really busy and it's a waste of our time. And I really, really appreciate and respect that view, because I know it has been that way in the past. But those of us in the county are sincerely trying to change that and make it a meaningful process that when people participate, they can see what they you know, we're not always going to agree. It's not always going to come out the way people want, but they can at least feel like they were heard and they can see their input in the final product. And that's really something that we're really sincere and working on.
I want to say you guys really are sincere. The Navy had an environmental impact statement, public meeting, very poor attendance because there's very poor public outreach. I don't know that that was on purpose or not, but I don't know that it was. It should have been better. But the commander of the base is going to be our guest next week, and I have two really key people who are concerned with the environmental impact statement. Terry Lilly was going to come in and be able to speak to it, and then Stephen Doy, a fisherman from Hanapepe. And the commander is really happy to be having this dialogue where we're looking at both of those things. If people listen on the archives last week, Jonathan Jay had Tulsi Gabbard in here, and just maybe 10 minutes into his show with her, she was definitely asking for support, asking citizens to be calling her office and seeing how they can help, because she wants to see us not have dual wars in Syria. She's really showing amazing courage. The joint fact-finding study will be revealed. That's on the pesticide stuff. That's January 6th. The public briefing will be January 11th. That comment period closes at the end of January. The legislature is opening January 19th, so bills need to be in before that. I, in a few minutes, am going to go to Governor Ige's thing, because I'm going to be very front and center, because right now I am showing up at all these meetings. But Robert and other people, I hope you show up too, because especially if you have that mana of ownership to the land prior to contact, or, you know, I don't have it. So if somebody else's voice is better than mine, well, then they should be there. A caller wanted to know, any paving of Pine Trees parking lot? That's really more a public works than you.
Yeah, that's public works and parks. I'm not sure. Okay. I can find out and get back to you on it, but I don't know.
Okay.
Hey, can I just mention one other thing really quick, because you were mentioning the focus on Lihue, and I want to mention that we have some projects on the North Shore, and specifically Kilauea. So one is we just applied for a grant to do some safe routes to school improvements behind Kilauea School. I won't go into the details of it.
But it's good. But, I saw it.
Okay.
Got Felicia's endorsement.
All right.
Okay,
and,
that's good.
We also just applied for some funding from Central Federal Lands, which helps with access to federal projects. And so we applied for some assistance to look at Kilauea Road from Kolo Road down to the lighthouse, and bicycle and pedestrian access to Kilauea Point Lighthouse Refuge, to the refuge, the wildlife refuge. And so we will be looking at traffic calming and bike and pedestrian facilities on Kilauea Road.
So we can drive all the way down to the go down even through the gate on a bike?
So that is also a management issue that we
Federal.
Have to we have to work on with the wildlife refuge about how that's going to work. But I just want to mention that that will lead to some improvements on Kilauea Road that will hopefully address some of the concerns that people have. And we don't have funding yet, but we're also looking at Kolo Road and improvements we can make there. So we're looking at all parts of our island and improvements that we can make.
Cousin Rich is standing in for Jazz with John in just like a minute or two, so, and then we'll have the county council report, general excise taxes, on the agenda early in the morning. We're going to go around really fast, and I see I've got a caller, and you can't go on the air. Okay.
I just want to say I really appreciate the work you're doing to help, Lee, the work you're doing to help make our community here in Kilauea safer, and that Aninaho is proud to be working on both sides of that spectrum to not only add value here in Kilauea with different arts, entertainment, and gathering activities, but also to offer a park and ride to help people get safer into Lihue. It's, we're pleased to be part of the community and pleased to be part of the positive future.
I'm going to be really short because I see you're really out of time. So thank you for having me here. I'm from Get Fit Kauai, and we really love working with the county and people like your other guests.
Shout out to Bev. Get Fit Kauai, you've done so much working with the county, and you rock.
Because you help with the
runs and the marathons and the bike path. And you know what I love? You do it in a way where people don't have to feel guilty for being out of shape. Anybody is appropriate.
That's absolutely
correct. You don't have to be a triathlete to be able to be doing that. And you can be a triathlete. So you do great things.
Thank you.
Really good.
Okay.
Really
I want to give a shout out to Aninaho because and Get Fit Kauai because the county can't do everything itself. We realize that. And we're so thankful to have incredible partners in the nonprofit world, in the private world, people like the Porters who doing amazing things, and now what you guys are doing with the land, it's just incredible. So thank you.
And Bino?
I just want to thank you, Felicia, for having me on the show. I just want to say two things. I just want to say that please contact us at Aninaho if you have any ideas how we can better serve our community with programs and services. And also for the educational part of our Aninaho Community Park, we're out there reaching out to all the teachers and facilitators who want to do educational programs here by using the Botanical Garden.
Yeah, they do. They do wonderful things. Just time for an aloha, Marshall.
Aloha.
Okay. This has been Kauai Soapbox. Felicia, great cast of characters in here from the county and from the private nonprofit sector. I've got Cousin Rich standing in for Jazz with John. You're going to hear the county council report. So this is KKCR, Hanalei, K-A-Q-A, Kilauea.
Aloha.
Aloha. I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of December 14th. There will be a council meeting on Wednesday at 8:30 a.m. Also, there will be a special council meeting on Thursday at 8 a.m. Both meetings will be in the council chambers in Lihue. The purpose of the special meeting is to hold a non-public executive session related to the hiring of a county auditor. Here are highlights from the regular meeting agenda on Wednesday. The council will interview Kevin Mintz for the police commission. The county engineer transmits for council consideration a resolution establishing crosswalks and bicycle lanes on Pui Road and a bike lane on Oleana. And this is resolution number 2015-64 and 65. County engineer transmits for council consideration resolution 2015-66, establishing a crosswalk across Rice Street. The director of finance transmits for council consideration a proposal to establish a new article under Chapter 5 of the county code to establish a general excise and use tax surcharge for the county. This is proposed draft bill number 2610. Also, Council Chair Raposo requests the mayor provide a briefing regarding the administration's plans on use of this new tax. This item was received for the record and is under bills for the first reading. The planning director transmits the planning commission's recommendations regarding proposed draft bill number 2601, which amends the county code relating to several issues on additional dwelling units on other than residentially zoned lots. This is also under bills for the first reading. The county clerk transmitted two claims against the county. Under committee reports, the Public Works, Parks, and Recreation Committee received for the record a request from Council Chair Raposo for a briefing on the work performed adjacent to the Kealaheli-Makalai multi-use path and Kuna Bay. The Budget and Finance Committee approved bills number 2602 and 2603 relating to funding for the Kauai Police Department KPAL Youth Center Interim KPD Training Facility for $300,000. This item is under bills for the second reading. This committee also approved bill number 2605 related to funds for the Cocoa Palms Resort Development Use Permit Conditions. That's $110,000, also under bills for the second reading. The Committee of the Whole received for the record a request from Councilmember Chalk requesting agenda time to allow David Mora, State Liaison for the International City-County Management Association, to give a presentation on the overview of the Council Manager System of Government, best practices, costs and benefits, and suggestions on a transition to a Council Manager System for the County of Kauai. There will be a non-public executive session for the Office of the County Attorney to provide the Council with a briefing on a foreclosure action in a civil case. If the Council is not finished with this meeting by approximately 1:30 p.m., it will recess for public hearing on Bills 2607 and 2608 relating to funding for the Kaloa Poipu intersection improvements. After the public hearing, the Council will reconvene to complete any unfinished business. To view meetings or meeting archives, visit www.kauai.gov/webcastmeetings. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.
Well, good evening, everyone. Cousin Rich here for Jazz with John and Felicia. Thank you for a wonderful show, and you did have a great cast of characters this Tuesday evening.
Silver linings when they're reversed. I found your love, and that's when the old way.